Hello, my name is Zoe Skarupa, and I am 13 years old. Today's date is November 24th, and I am speaking with my grandmother, Bevudine, and we are interviewing in Jackson, Michigan. So, can you tell me about the two people who have been the biggest influence in your life?
Two people who have had the most influence in my life, I believe, would be my father. He was brilliant. He had an extremely high IQ. Unfortunately, even though he was highly decorated in World War II, he suffered from PTSD, which at the time was not diagnosed. So he spent a lot of my youth, and unfortunately as he got older led to his dementia, but still managed to be the most forthright, dependable, loyal, intelligent person, and taught me everything I need to know in life to be a good person.
That's good.
The other person would probably be, again, nobody terribly famous, but my grandmother, my maternal grandmother, who had a large part in my life, even though she lived 3 hours away. I spent my summers with her. I was the one, even though the six cousins, I was the one who went with her to visit relatives either in Canada or her extended family out west. And she taught me things about my family and the history that have helped me deal with things.
Very interesting. So the next question is, what was your childhood home like, and who else lived with you in the house?
My childhood home, we were in a definite blue-collar working-class neighborhood. They were extremely proud of it, though, because they were able to build it, I believe, by using my dad's GI grant to help build the house. It was a small Cape Cod style that is very, if you drive down any working class neighborhood in any larger community, you're going to see this little Cape Cod house drop down everywhere. It consisted of two small bedrooms in the first part of the house, a small living room, good sized kitchen actually. One bathroom, that was the idea of having more than one bathroom never even entered my head. And then they had finished the upstairs, which really was just supposed to be an attic, into like a large bedroom area. That's where my parents stayed. The house just was my parents, my sister, and me, and a cat or a dog.
All right. And then, so what were your parents like as you were growing up?
As I was growing up, oh, yeah. As a child, my father was a member of the John Birch Society and the National Rifle Association. He was a master sergeant in the Army, and he was extremely conservative. As he said, we are not doves, we are hawks, which contradicted with his wife and my personal beliefs, because both of us used to feel that there was a way that could be, things could be solved minus
violence.
Yeah. My mom was, even though she had some pretty liberal political ideas, was, there's no nice way to say this, extremely overzealous in her religion. But I have to say my happiest times were the fact that she was extremely overzealous with her religion, because had I not grown up in, it was Evangelical United Brethren was the denomination we were, which set her aside from her family, because everybody in her family were Methodists. Her grandfather was the fact, he was the bishop of the Methodist Church in Toronto. Her father was a Methodist minister, and then she didn't like any of the Methodist churches when they left Cleveland, moved to Toledo, so she joined this EUB, which is the initials for it. And she was the Sunday school teacher, the pianist, for both the big choir and the youth choir. I spent Sunday mornings at church, Sunday evenings at church, Tuesday evenings at church with her, Wednesday evening for Bible study at church, Thursday evening with choir practice. I can't sing, but I had to go. And I loved it. My dad also drove the church bus and was the head usher. So we were really involved. So youth was mostly church, or they did like to go to the lake. We had a cottage on a lake.
Cool.
Summers were fun.
All right, so who is the best or worst person that you've ever had to work with or for?
I can give you both. The best person I ever worked with and for was my mentor when I started teaching. His name is David Sinkoviak. He was the head of the social studies department at Jefferson Junior High School. And everyone told me that he was going to be a pain in my bottom. And he was not going to be willing to help or anything. He was awesome. Instead of sitting in the room, because he figured out sitting in the room made me nervous when I was student teaching, he would sit outside the room like a bad student. You know, you have those chairs outside.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't know he was outside. He was awesome to work with. The worst person I ever had to deal with, is the reason I had to put hashtag me too.
Oh.
And we'll leave it at that. But I won. It was 1974, which should have been against me, and he thought he could fire me, and I took it to his boss, and I won, and he got fired.
So, if you could go back and relive your childhood years, would you, and why or why not?
Hell no. No, I would not. Because only I could go back with the knowledge I have gained now, because, one, I was painfully naive. Mm. I truly was. It was the 60s. I had no concept of the pain other kids around me might be having, because people didn't talk about anything. And now that I look back and I see and I rethink about things that I was hearing or seeing, I realize that kid is being abused. And I had no clue. You know, that kind of thing. And it just, no, I wouldn't do it. Okay. I wouldn't be a teenager now again to save my soul. Sorry.
That's all right. So this is, I guess, going back to the parents, kind of. Who are your grandparents? Who are your great-grandparents? And do you have any great memories of them?
I have awesome memories of all of my grandparents, except for my grandpa Paul, because he died when I was 6. But I know that I was one of his favorites. He's the reason I have sight, because I'm blind in one eye. Had he not caught it, because my parents couldn't see it,
yeah,
they just thought I was being fussy, I wouldn't have sight. But unfortunately, he passed away when I was only 6. So I don't really have any memory of him. But as I said, my grandma Paul was a huge influence on me. That's my mother's mother. My dad's parents, I was my grandpa's little pixie, which annoyed the one cousin. She hates me to this day. They actually lived with my grandparents. Her mother was their mother was divorced. They had like a duplex always. They always had the one half and my grandparents, so they basically lived with them. But my grandpa I was just 60. Extremely close to him. And his wife, my grandma McCarty, was 100% Pennsylvania Dutch German. She was the...
Really?
Only that my grandma was a blonde. But shape and everything. You're shaped like her.
Oh.
She was awesome. She was the best cook. And she's the one who taught me how to play cards. And how to win playing cards.
I still have not got that skill yet.
She also the one who gave me my first beer, much to my mother's dismay. Actually, I think I was 14. She told them I was 16. Because I think it was legal in Wisconsin.
Not anymore.
No, definitely.
It's legal in Europe, though.
Yeah. What was fun about my McCarty is my grandpa was fairly new to the country because he still spoke Gaelic. I know he was born here, but he spoke fluent Gaelic from Ireland, North Ireland.
Ooh.
And my grandmother spoke German. They were married for 65 years, but they'd never had an argument because when they argued, he yelled at her in Gaelic, she yelled at him in German.
They never understood each other.
He also was deaf and would periodically, when she gets yammering at him, go like this and turn off his hearing aid. So, great grandparents. I really never knew any of them. I know of my mother's side. I know who they are. I've heard stories about them, but they all passed before I was born. I was an afterthought.
Hmm.
So.
All right. If I can hit the buttons right. So, are there any traditions that have been passed down through the family?
Well, we're about to have one sometime this weekend when we get around to it, probably tomorrow. We do have high tea. That's my mother's side of the family.
Yep.
Because they're 100% English, even though my grandfather came from Canada. He was still English. And we do tea.
That's one of the best traditions.
Yeah. I try to keep traditions going, but my children have a tendency to tell me no. So, trying with my grandchildren.
What was your childhood like, I guess?
Again?
Did I already ask that one?
Yeah, kind of. You said, what was it like being a kid? It was good. I mean, I can't really complain. I was always odd man out. I was the only, in an extremely Polish Catholic neighborhood, I was one of three non-Catholic people. And one day I remember them kids coming off the bus to Regina Shaling getting told the nun said that the mother had words with the nun. Because that's where I first heard my first swear word was from the nun yelling at me. And she said something I didn't know what it meant. So I asked my mother. My mother got hysterical. And the next day they came home from school and said they weren't allowed to play with me anymore.
Oh.
That was depressing. I think a normal kid, childhood. I rode my bike. I was active. I left at 9 in the morning and came home when the lights went off. I can't, you know. Typical 1960s kid.
Okay, so this one's kind of going back to the hippie thing.
Okay.
So why did you join the hippie movement and why did you want to protest?
Okay. I was an unusual form of hippie. And so were my group. We were the group. That was what we were called. If you go to the University of Toledo today, there is still the group. We kept passing it on, and it's still alive to this day. I don't know if they have the same read, probably because there's different issues progressing all the time. Our issues were, we were not against the military. We were against the military action. We felt it was invasive. It was unnecessary. All it was doing was damaging the country of Vietnam, and it was damaging our soldiers. The lifespan of your average foot soldier, especially if you were, unfortunately, an ROTC officer coming in, was approximately, if you were lucky, 24 to 48 hours of life. That was what we protested. We were never protesting the military themselves. We were protesting the war, which set us apart, because it would never have occurred to us to go up to a soldier and say anything negative to them.
Yeah.
The other thing, my major point of protesting was also women's rights. I'm sorry. If I'm going to do the same work as you, and I think I'm smarter than you, which I knew I was, I want to be paid the same. Yeah. I want to be respected the same. And being raised by a father who never had a son, and I was he had my sister when he was in the war, so he lost 3 years of life with her.
Yeah.
So when I came around, it was 10 years later, I was kind of like his.
Yeah.
I was my dad. I was a daddy's girl. Only he didn't treat me like that. At 5, I was shooting a gun very well. At 6, I could beat anybody in pool. In fact, that's a story for my youth. We went to visit relatives in Canada, and they gave us a cabin to go stay at Lake Scugog, and he found a pool hall. So he takes me into the pool hall, and they're like, "You're bringing a 14-year-old? Look, what good is that?" And he goes, "Player." I'm like, "Dad, what are you doing?" He goes, "You two, play us. Put some money on it." We walked out with a lot of money. But back to the why we were hippies. It was more of inequality. We didn't like what we were seeing with the treatment of African Americans. That was wrong. We were against the fact that one of my dearest friends, even though he didn't come out to us till afterwards, but we felt that they were being mistreated. I mean, it's just people have a right to be who they are.
Yeah.
And, you know, you just knew Ted. Well, I knew Ted because he asked me a question once in my senior year. And kind of like, you wouldn't ask me that unless you're gay. So you must be gay. Plus, that explains the no dates. Or why I'm not physically attracted, because he was gorgeous. 6 foot tall, blonde, blue-eyed, muscular, a swimmer, gorgeous actor. Seems great.
Well, that's also another quick thing.
That's stereotypical.
But it's kind of true. Just,
no, it's not.
I have tons of gay friends, and they are all in the musicals and the plays.
Oh, no. No, they don't have to be. But
they do choose to.
Yeah. But he had a crush on him. I saw it with a girl, and I think if she'd ever shown interest in him, I think he would have gone her way, because he was so in love with her. And she just kept blowing him off.
Aww.
Yeah, I know. I used to think, aww. But that was why. It was the inequality that we were seeing, and we didn't feel it was right. That's all.
All right. That, I did that one. There's too much. Okay, how would you like to be remembered?
As someone who was devoted to her family, would do anything for them, was also devoted to making the lives of people better, and that I stood for value.
That's really good. Okay, do you have any regrets?
This one's tough, and you can't let your grandfather hear it.
All right.
I would not have gotten married when we did. We were not ready to be married. However, that would make your mother illegitimate. But we were not ready to be married. We were way too young. Plus, we were financially, it was ridiculous. He felt he had to get out of the house. I wanted to get out of the house because our parents were both suffocating us.
No.
We got married at 30.
Ooh.
Yeah. Even in 1975, that's tough.
Yeah.
So. And we were still in school. So, that's a regret, and I would have finished my education the first time through. Instead, I had your mom. I still would have had your mom, but I should have finished.
All right. So, this is a good, actually a really good one. Can you tell me about the dumbest thing you ever did?
Well, that probably is the regret. actually, no. The two dumbest things... Dumbest thing I ever did was agree with my best friend to be a bar waitress at a place called the Outer Limits, which also had the, you know what, I'm trying to think what they were called. They weren't like pole dancers, but you danced on the tabletops type of thing.
A rave?
No, but that's close.
Something like that?
It's a disco, but it had like, it was the air, go-go dancer. It was a
go-go dancer.
I was doing that underage, and her dad was a sergeant for the police force, and my dad was a sergeant in the army, and guess who showed up?
Oh, no.
Yeah, that was pretty dumb. That one was pretty dumb. Yeah, that was probably the dumbest thing I did. Making good money, but it was dumb.
Especially when your parents show up. It's like, oh.
Well, they were there because they figured out where we were going. It's like, oh, crud, they're both here. We're in trouble, Sharon.
Yeah, that's not the best idea. things you were expecting. Okay, so how has your life been different than you imagined it when you were young?
Okay, young, I expected to be working somewhere in journalism, either on broadcast news or writing for the newspapers. And I didn't expect to ever have a family because I was never planning to get married. How life throws curves at you.
So thinking about your family many generations from now, and that they may hear this recording, is there anything that you want to say to them? Wisdom or advice you would like to share?
Advice I'd like to share to them. Service to others is service to yourself. When you help other people, you're actually helping yourself, which sounds very strange because you cannot imagine the rewards and self-satisfaction you feel by aiding someone else. That is the best thing and the most, I think, awesome thing you can do or be remembered for is that you were that kind of person. The other thing is always be true to yourself and to what you believe.
All right. Then one of the last ones. If you knew that this was going to be our last conversation, is there anything that you never told me that you'd like to share now?
That I've never told you? I think I've pretty much shared everything. Think of anything.
Sorry. It's all right.
I don't, offhand, I can't think of anything. I know when I saw that, I thought, what would I tell you that I hadn't told? You know how I feel about you. You know how I feel about your mom and your uncle, and your brother. No? You just what I said before, what I would pass on to you. It's the same thing I hope our descendants feel.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
So, this one, I kind of told a few people that I'd do this. So, A, how do you feel about the gay community?
Obviously, my best friend through high school was gay and through college. I don't know what happened to him. He vanished on me. I know he's alive and well in San Francisco, and he's doing okay, but he just vanished. I worked with he is so awesome. When I became a realtor, I met our front desk guy, who were not the first front desk guy. He was gay, but he was...
The one that I knew?
Yeah, Amos.
Oh, okay.
There, Amos, I hope this makes it into an institution. You'll be in it. He is just the most awesome person in the world. They're people. I mean, I'm going to treat them like I treat any people.
Okay.
They're people.
Okay, and then this is the kind one that a few people have been telling me to do this for a while. How would you feel if I was gay?
I know. That's disturbing. Only because I want to make sure you're only 13.
Yeah, I know.
You know, when you come to me and you're 23 and tell me that, I'll buy it. 13 is not, no offense, maybe this is something I need to tell you. 13, you don't know.
I know
you're brilliant, and I know you're mature, but when I was 13, I thought I knew everything, too. Everybody does. And it gets worse. By the time you're 16 or 18, we're all stupid idiots in your mind. We might already be there, but we are, and I'm pretty smart. So is your papa. And I got the IQ to prove it. But it's your call. I don't know how you're feeling inside. It's your call.
Okay.
My disappointment is I want great-grandchildren.
That might happen. I don't know.
Well, what's her name? She played, I can never remember the girl's name, but I love her. She was on, which you probably don't remember the show, but Big Bang. She's Leslie Winkle on Big Bang.
Okay, I know.
Okay, and she's also created the talk.
Mm-hmm.
She's gay, but she has three kids.
Yeah.
So you can. Because I know your mom will be crushed. Because I don't think your brother's ever going to.
No, he doesn't have a chance.
Okay, we figured he was the one who was gay.
No. Maybe? I don't know.
You missed it today. Oh, this is still being recorded. When I stayed back so he could play with those building blocks.
Yeah.
This cutie little girl.
Saw her, yeah.
And she even tried talking to him. It just blew her off completely. I'm like,
Ian. Well, Ian is a jerk, but I mean.
He's a boy. What can you do?
But, because that's just another thing. I am a part of my school's GSA, and I'm actually one. Mom doesn't know this. I am one of the more leader.
She told me that.
Oh, I didn't think I.
She already told me the pronoun thing.
Oh.
What the hell is with them?
I don't know. I'm like, I've been called, actually, during BC, I was with a friend and his roommates, because we were all eating at the pizza place, and his friend goes, wait, you're a girl? And his friend just turns to him and goes, how can you not, because I wasn't wearing my hoodie, had a kind of low shirt, and he's like, how can you not tell she's a girl? These are huge. And I just looked at him like, okay, I thank you, I guess. You. I'm like, well, I don't really care if people think I'm a guy. I kind of look like one.
So I have to tell you, I asked your mom when she posted the picture, and there's this kind of chubby, you can do better, chubby blonde girl person. I had their arm draped around you, and I said, who's the boy with the arm around Zoe? And she goes, that's a girl. Her name's Becca.
Wait, she's not blonde. She's a redhead.
Oh, reddish. Okay.
And I may
strawberry
or may
blonde.
Not.
What?
Over it. I may like her.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. You can do better.
I know, but she's a nice person. She
really
is.
You can be a nice person, but you don't have to be related or, I mean, connected to her.
I know. She's also one of my best friends, and she's already turned me down, cry. But,
aww.
Yeah. Yeah. I tried. Actually, no. Everyone in the school is like, you two should be together. And I'm like, she's already rejected me. I can't do anything about it. It's like, aw. Whatever.
Oh, well.
Yeah. Well, hey, look, I did it, Miss Roderick. I did what I said I was going to do.
Yeah.
She's like, you shouldn't do that on the recording. I'm going to do it anyways.
Why?
Because she didn't know how you would react.
Oh.
She's like, it might not be a good thing.
Did you tell her I was a teacher?
No, I did not, actually.
Well, I guess I do just say, my grandmother used to teach social studies. Delinquents. After I got done, after they made me a seventh grader, I hate seventh graders. After they made my, well, it's not the seventh grade. Yeah, it's them. I don't like
actually,
them.
No. Wait, so all the seventh graders, because now that we mix lunches. So in my lunch group is mostly the seventh graders. And we're just like, because they do some weird stuff. And we're like, I used to turn to my eighth grade friends, and I'm like, we didn't do that when we were seventh graders. We weren't that annoying, were we?
Yeah.
We didn't even, like, they'll run up on the stage, start dancing, start yell random things. They're like, we.
Oh, no, them I'd like. Those I'd like. Those, huh. That was my group of people. They all thought we were on drugs in high school. And we're like, no. None of us did any of that stuff. We never did any of that stuff. We just enjoyed life. And we were all basically entertainers at heart, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, my seventh grade was, they turned my building into a seventh grade building.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I hate the curriculum. Who wants to do Ohio history and world geography?
Oh,
one, they
Ohio
don't
history
even go together.
Fourth grade.
Well, they do it again. Oh, so they do it, oh, okay.
We learned about the more fertile crescent, and I was in advanced social studies, so that might be something.
Yeah,
but,
we didn't have that.
Yeah. But we were doing, like, Romans, Greeks, the Mesopotamians.
Oh, I really hate them. Braden, that's Braden's specialty. I hate them. But, because I did American history. It's a whole year, eighth graders. Eighth graders are fun because you can
joke with them.
Well, you can do that, but you can have a good conversation with them and have them be all serious. But in the next instance, say, okay, we're going to the library to play a game on the computer. That's they're fun. I love
well,
eighth graders.
Like,
plus, your hormones are running amok and you're crazy, and somebody's got to love you. So, but then when they made my building just seventh grade, I asked to get out. So I subbed for a year over at Whitmer, which was horrible, and then an opening in what's called OWE, which is a separate building from because they can't be mixed in with the regular kids.
Oh.
They've all been thrown out of school, and it's like their last chance. And I'm working with, they're there from 7:15 in the morning till 10:45. We got all their education in. And then they either went to the Volk building for a vocational, you know, blocks, or they actually had jobs. And then I would work with between the probation officers and their employers. We'd, you know, do spot visits and that kind of thing. But essentially, it worked out perfect because my mom had passed away by that point. We found my dad had dementia because she had been hiding it from us. And it worked out great because I was done by 11:30. So I would just tell him, you'd be ready to go at 11:30. I'll come pick you up. We'll get all of our chores done. We'll go to lunch. I'll come back and get dinner ready for you, and then you're good. So it worked out perfect. And I liked my delinquents. Kept your mom's car from being broken into. Did she ever tell you that story?
No.
She had moved out with Brian and was living in an apartment building that was maybe, in fact, it's almost by where Braden lives, only it was out on Alexis.
Oh, okay.
And you know how you pass, there's the car lot, Brian, and you go down his street.
Yeah.
Well, she lived back a little bit farther up in these beautiful big apartments, and she called me really early one morning, and she's like, okay, the cops are at my door, and they're wanting to know why mine is the only car not broken into. I said, what? And she goes, every car in the lot got broken into except mine. Well, we have personalized plates.
Mm-hmm. And they saw your name.
They all said Udine 1, 2, 3, and 4. Well, she was Udine 3. And they knew my plate said Udine 1. And they're like, so I get to, I'm like, oh, God, this sounds like my kids. So I get into class the next morning, and one kid goes, so Mrs. Udine.
You have a daughter?
No, they knew I had a daughter. They all knew her. A lot of them, they were kids I had taught in junior high.
Oh, okay.
Or most of them came from Shoreland, so they knew Adrian, and they knew Braden. And they're like, she got a pink car. I'm like, oh, God, no. Don't keep talking. You're welcome. I'm like, don't keep talking. You know I have to report this. Probably. But you probably already had figured it out. I said, yeah. So it's she. Cops were like questioning her, why was yours the only car not broken into? And she said to him, probably because of my mom.
My mom works with the delinquents.
Yeah, that's what she said. My mom does OWE at Whitmer. Oh. And Whitmer's like 4 blocks this way, and her apartment's right here. Yeah. So we done?
Yep, I think so. All right.
Well, that was entertaining. Tired. So, not a problem. And you didn't ask me anything.